By Lord Brahma, he understood the purpose for which they had approached him. Therefore, in a deep voice that resembled the rumbling of clouds, the Lord replied to the demigods, who all stood there attentively with folded hands. Text number 17. Eka eveshvarastasmin surakarye sureshvara bihartu Bihartu kamas tannaha samudron matanadhibi. Translation. Although the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Master of the demigods, was capable of performing the activities of the demigods by himself, he wanted to enjoy pastimes in churning the ocean. Therefore, he spoke as follows. Text number 18. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha Hanta Brahmana Ho Shambho Hedeva Mama Bhashitam Shrinota Vahita Sarve Shreyo Vasyadhyata Suraha. Translation. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, O Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and other demigods, please hear me with great attention. For what I say will bring good fortune to all of you. So now we'll repeat text 19. Yatta dhanava daitreyas. Tavat sandir vidhiyatam. Kalena nugrihitastair. Yavango bhava atmana. Yata. Just execute. Dhanava. With the demons. Daitayai. And the asuras. Tavat. So long. Sandhi. A truce. Vidhiyatam, execute. Kalina, by a favorable time. Or Kabyena, by Shukracharya. Anugrihitai, receiving benedictions. Tai, with them. Yavat, as long as. Ba, of you, bhava, good fortune, atmana, of yourselves, Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. As long as you are not flourishing, you should make a truce with the demons and asuras, who are now being favored by time. Please repeat. As long as you are not flourishing,
you should make a truce
with the demons and asuras, who are now being favored by time. Purport. One word in this verse has two readings, Kalena and Kabyena. Kalena means favored by time, and Kabyena means favored by Shukracharya. Shukracharya being the spiritual master of Shukracharya being the spiritual master of the Daityas. The demons and the Daityas were favored in both ways, and therefore the demigods were advised by the Supreme Lord to execute a truce for the time being until time favored them. Vichetanyamanobhishtam stapitam yena bhutale svayam rupakadahmayam darati shvaparantikam. Namo om Vishnu padaya Krishna prasthaya bhutale shimati bhakti vedanta swamini namane namaste sarasvati deve gauravani pracharine nirvishesha shunyavati pasyata dishatarine Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Siyadati Radha Shivashari Gauravakti Vinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, I'd just like to go back to the previous verses just to say a little something about each one, although Srila Prabhupada didn't put any purports there. There's a few little points that we can make. And one thing I'd like to refer back to the previous verse, which was read yesterday, verse number 15. Just one thing that was said there that Srila Prabhupada mentioned, that Dvija Deva Mandram, this is very important. Srila Prabhupada dedicates the whole verse, the whole purport, to explaining this term, that Dvija Deva Mandram, that only the Dvijas and the Devas are qualified for mantra, meaning, of course, mantra in this case means the Gayatri mantra. And Srila Prabhupada goes to great pains in his purport to emphasize that for everyone, because practically nowadays the devas don't visit this planet, and the only time the devas may visit this planet is during Gaur Artik, Aruti Korena Brahma Adi Deva Gane. That when we do Gaur Artik, they may be present, because Lord Brahma may come to do the Artik. No. But other than that, other than when the deity is there, the demigods cannot favor us. So therefore, if we want to be favored by the demigods, just like sometimes we see devotees take the attitude that, let me make some money. No. Actually, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Bharat Bhumite Janma, that Manusha Janma Yar, Janma Sartaka Kori Kori Parupakar. He said that those who are specially born in Bharat Bhumi, but actually Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, previous to that, said that I am the only gardener, and I must distribute these fruits of love of God everywhere. This is my mission. But how can I do that alone? Of course, in one of these verses, this verse number 17, it says, although the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Master of all the demigods, was capable of performing those activities. So we know that Lord Chaitanya certainly was capable of distributing the fruits of love of Godhead. Krishna Prema Pradayate, that was his mission. But the Lord always wants to give credit to his devotees. Just like the Lord gave credit to Arjuna He was the one that orchestrated the whole battle of Kurukshetra. He even demonstrated that to Arjuna because Arjuna was reluctant to fight. So the Lord said, look, Arjuna, when he showed his universal form, there's no reason, if you still have some doubts about fighting, you know, even though Arjuna had already said in the 10th chapter of Bhagavad Gita that I really don't have any more doubts because now I understand you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Not only have I realized that, but all the great sages have confirmed this. But still, Krishna wanted to show, if any of us want to make decisions independent of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and His representative, that there's no reason to do that because the Lord has everything planned out, and the best way that we can understand His plan is through His devotees. Otherwise, we will be guessing and guessing, maybe Krishna wants this, maybe Krishna wants that, or we'll forget about Krishna. That's very common in Kali Yuga, in material world and in Kali Yuga. So Krishna said to Arjuna, showed him the universal form, and said, just see, everybody's going to be killed anyway. So whether you do it or I do it, no, that's going to happen. So better you do it, because that will please me. So this is the whole purpose of spiritual life, to please Krishna. So in the same way, in the Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came, he could have distributed the fruits of love of God to everyone. He did so to his devotees. But Dvija Deva Mandram. But his devotees are the perfect persons because they are beyond Dvija and beyond Deva. They are beyond being second born. They are beyond the demigods. They are the perfect receptacles of the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the perfect distributors of that mercy. So he said, not only his devotees, he said everyone, not only those who were born in India, but everyone should spread this. He said every human being should take up this mission of mine and spread these fruits of love. Because Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also could anticipate what would happen with India. Of course, still India's, to take birth in India is still a very glorious thing because there's still some remnants of Vedic culture. And what to speak of taking birth in Vrindavan or Mayapur or some holy place. But of course, that vantage point is decreasing day by day. Now India's doing its best to become materialistic and atheistic. No. Actually, even the most degraded countries in the West don't make an asserted effort to become atheistic. Some scientists may want that. But actually, most of the politicians in India, with the exception of a few, wanted to become atheistic. No. Although they say, yes, you can practice your religion. But their real purpose is to promote atheistic impersonalist knowledge. This has been going on since the time of Shankaracharya to now, because the atheistic point of view allows one to speculate unlimitedly and also allows one to do everything because there's no authority. If Krishna's not there, just like Arjuna, he also had his plan, but Krishna was there and his plan became purified. His whole conception changed. And he became purified. But without the presence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his devotees, then atheists can have a field day. So here, this whole setting which is coming about is because the demigods have been deprived of their opulence. They've been deprived of their influence. Why? That is, we'll discuss that in a few minutes. But this is the setting. So the demigods approach the Supreme Personality of God, therefore illustrating what the Lord says, that tatenu kampam susamikshamana mungjane vatmakritam vipakam, that when there's some distress or there's some difficulty, one should simply patiently await the mercy of the Supreme Personality of God. No. It will come. And one should accept it in whatever form it comes. It may come as, sometimes we think that fortune, just like it's very popular among Western religions, as Prajapati Prabhu can tell us, being a theologian, that blessings of the Lord means material opulence. This is basically the Western conception. Of course, there were some monks and some groups that didn't agree with that, even though Christ himself was austere and taught his disciples to be austere. The tendency is to interpret that religion means that the blessings of the Lord means material opulence. But the Bhagavatam states, yasyaham anugrinami harisye taddhanam shanai, that the Lord shows special favor to his devotees by taking away their opulence. Whenever opulence becomes an obstacle, which it usually does in the lives of neophytes, because neophytes are very much attracted, that's why they're called Prakriti Bhaktas, because they're very attracted to Prakriti, to material nature. So therefore, when they become too much, they have too much opulence, which is what began this whole situation that's happening right now, was because Indra was too attached to his opulence. And therefore, when he met Durvasa Muni, you know, on the road, Durvasa gave him the blessing. He said, here's Indra. You know, the duty of a sage is to even bless the demigods. Sages are so elevated that they can bless the demigods. So he gave a blessing by giving his garland. And Indra, why should I take a garland from this lower class human being? No. So he took the garland, gave it to his elephant, and the elephant just threw it down on the ground. No. And this whole situation, then Durvasa said, all right, you think you're so powerful. Now I give you the curse that all of your opulence will disappear. And then the whole universe practically became deprived of opulence. And that's then the demigods had to approach the Lord. So this is the system in the material world, that whenever we become too attached, Krishna arranges that some difficulty will come about. And by that difficulty, we are reminded that the only solution to any problem and every problem is Krishna. Even in the four goals of society, dharma, artha, kama, moksha. The first one is dharma. Otherwise, before you can even have artha or kama, then you must have dharma. Otherwise, artha and kama, everything will stop there. Just like when Narad Muni approached King Prachina Barishat, he asked him, how is your dharma, artha, and kama? He didn't ask him about moksha, because there was no question of moksha. He was so absorbed in artha and kama that there's no question of moksha. So unless dharma is there very strongly, and then artha and kama are our material prosperity and our sense gratification are very restricted and regulated by dharma, then moksha will not happen. It simply won't happen. So Indra and the demigods, they approach the Lord immediately when there's some disturbance. Then they approach the authority. Of course, this is good. This is pious activity. But actually, it shows that a devotee of the Lord will immediately simply approach Krishna. Whenever there's a difficulty or whenever there's opulence, a devotee approaches Krishna when there's difficulty, knowing that this difficulty is the special mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And when there's opulence, a devotee also approaches Krishna, because he knows that this opulence is the special mercy of the Lord. Not that difficulty, I look for the Lord, and when there's opulence, I want to use it for my sense gratification. So this is the thought of a devotee. Therefore, Dvija Deva Mantra. Therefore, the Dvijas and the Devas, they are given the Gayatri Mantra. So that their spiritual life can be enhanced because they are responsible for uplifting society. By that Gayatri Mantra, not only is that something that we use for our own benefit, but it's used to uplift society. Society must be uplifted. No. And Srila Prabhupada emphasizes that one should become a Brahmin and do this if that is favorable for the service of the Lord. But in Kali Yuga, there are no Brahmins and there are no demigods. Because the Brahmins, practically speaking, it's very difficult to be a Brahmin. And therefore, one can only be a Brahmin if one is a devotee. Practically speaking, Brahmins who are not Vaishnavas in this age don't exist. I remember one time in Gujarat, I was asked to preside over a Vishnu Jagya, but there were some Brahmins to do all the technical things. And every time there was a break, they would go out and back and smoke bidi. So I had to go to and I just chastised them. I said, "What are you doing? This jagya will be completely useless if you're smoking bidis." And so they all looked down at the ground. They said, "Well," so actually they said, "Well, at least we won't smoke any more bidis till after the jagya." Said, okay. So this is Kali Yuga. No. And everyone has bad habits. Some bad habits will be there, or some pride will be there, or some disturbance will be there in our devotional service unless we worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. No. So, in the first verse that we read today, it said that the Lord could understand what the devotees wanted. Actually, when we pray to Krishna, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that one cannot pray to Krishna without asking for some benefit. No. Because everything is coming from Krishna. Otherwise, even if you approach Krishna for devotional service, you must ask for the benefit of devotional service. No. Because devotional service comes from Krishna. Actually, it comes from his devotees, but to have access to his devotees, we have to approach the Supreme. So one cannot approach the Lord without asking for something. Even we see the most exalted prayer offered to the Supreme Lord in the last verse of the Shikshastaka. So even though that prayer is total submission, that Srimati Radharani through Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying, "You can do anything. You can bless me. You can trample me, you can be absent from me. Whatever you do, I am your servant unconditionally." So what is the request? That whatever you do, please always allow me to be your servant. So within every prayer, there is a request. So the Lord already knows. Actually, when Krishna puts some test before us, it's not that he's trying to figure out where we're at or what is our consciousness or what is our situation. He already knows. But he's trying to allow us to understand what is our situation. When he puts us into some difficulty, or when he puts us into some test, or when he puts us into a situation, it's not because he's trying to see, well, where is this person at? He's within our heart. He knows better than us where we're at. And therefore, he creates circumstances so that we can understand, parallel with him, what is the right course. Just like Arjuna. Krishna had to put him in a very difficult circumstance so that he could realize the nature of his sentimental attitude toward the battle. Of course, on the one hand, Srila Prabhupada speaks about Arjuna's situation in two ways. One, that his sentiment was very indicative of a Vaishnava. Because a Vaishnava doesn't want to kill anyone. A Vaishnava doesn't want to hurt anyone. But it was improperly applied. Otherwise it was sentimental. Vaishnava's compassion is based on Guru, Shastra, and Sadhu, not on sentimentality. Because sentimental means, I don't want to hurt anyone so that no one will hurt me. No. It's based on me, based on the ego. Just like charity, or anything, any charity, austerity, or any of the things recommended for one's upliftment. All these things, if you don't do them for Krishna, it's simply selfish. No. People give charity, why? So that I will be known as a charitable person. People do austerity, why? So that I will be known as a great yogi. People do sacrifice, so that I will be known as a great Brahmin. Or so that I will get some benefits from the sacrifice. But only when we do that sacrifice for Krishna, and that sacrifice is chanting the holy name, then, because chanting in the holy name itself is a benefit for everyone. And therefore Haridas Thakur and Srila Prabhupada and Chaitanya Charitamrita says we must chant loudly. No. That means Harinam Sankirtan. No. But if we don't do Harinam Sankirtan, and we don't sometimes chant loudly for the benefit of others, just like if we meet someone and they have no interest in Krishna consciousness, somehow or another we want to say Krishna. We want them to hear the name Krishna. We want to hear them, let them hear the Maha Mantra, or at least Krishna, so that there'll be some benefit. So, this is the proper use of austerity, sacrifice, charity. All of these things are included in the Maha Mantra. It is the greatest sacrifice. It is the greatest austerity in Kali Yuga. It's like one time a devotee asked Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, what austerity should I do? He said, chant the Maha Mantra. And he said, besides that, Prabhupada, what else should I do? Is it chant more? So this is our austerity, this is our penance, this is our sacrifice, and this is the greatest charity also. With what greater charity can you give than the holy name? Just like Sri Sanatana Goswami, when he was approached by a greedy man who had heard that he had a touchstone. So the man approached him and said, I heard you have a touchstone yet? Where can I see it? Yes, it's over there in the rubbish. No. So he went over, oh, this is going to be really easy. No. Ran over to it. Then he thought, wait a minute. If he's thrown it away, he must have something more valuable. Let me find out what that is. He said, my dear sir, I see that you have this touchstone in the rubbish. So you must have something more valuable. Oh, yes. Could I know what that is? Yes. But first you must vow that you will give up any interest in this touchstone. Oh yeah, okay, yeah. And then I can give you something more valuable. Oh, of course. So what is that? I said, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. More valuable. So the greatest wealth, the greatest sacrifice, the greatest everything is the holy name. And that's what we want to give to everyone. So therefore, the Lord knows. He knows what we need. He knows how to administer it to us. And another thing about that particular verse, it says that the voice of the Lord was heard. Every time we hear that the Lord speaks, it speaks of the Lord as having a deep rumbling voice like the clouds. So if we look at the evolution of species, we see that, you know, we see a little tiny insect or bird or some small animal, they have a very high voice. And as they get bigger, you know, human beings and then lions and elephants, they have increasingly deep and penetrating voices. So what to speak of the biggest personality, you know, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, has the deepest voice. You know, and you can, when he speaks, it sounds like the rumbling of clouds, the whole universe vibrates when Krishna speaks. Just a little mention about that. And immediately, when the Lord speaks, because His voice is so great, then everyone stands attentively and hears. Of course, it says in the beginning of this chapter that when the Lord appears, His effulgence was so great that no one could even see Him. And so that has a special meaning also, that when one approaches Krishna, one has to penetrate all conceptions of the Lord other than the personal conception. If one still has some impersonal conception or material desire, it will not be so easy to see Krishna. But as one, because Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva are free from material desire, then they could see, they could penetrate the effulgence of the Supreme Lord, and they could see Him. But others who are full of material desires, they could not see. The demigods could not see Him until He actually revealed Himself by Lord Brahma's and Lord Shiva's mercy when they offered prayers. So then in verse 17, it says that the Lord was capable of performing these activities, but He wanted to enjoy pastimes of churning the ocean. So what was His pastime? His main pastime was that He wanted His devotees, and of course the demigods were included, to do some service. And what was that service? Because He felt some itch on His back. So when we feel an itch on our back, we may scratch ourselves or get one of those little wooden hands, you know, stick down and scratch your back if you can't reach it. If you haven't been doing your yoga, you can't reach all the way. So, or we get one other person. But when the Lord wants to scratch His back, He engages the whole universe. You know? He engages the greatest personalities. He engages the greatest demons. And that also shows the Lord's impartial nature. That when He wanted to perform this pastime of engaging the demigods and the demons in His personal service, you know, He engaged the demons also, not just the demigods. So the Lord is impartial. Therefore, sometimes when we see, just like we see that people question, why are all these things happening? Why are all these, why are these people in Washington or these communists here, or these people here, why are they able to do that? Why does God allow these things to happen? Because everyone is His devotee. No. People in their egotistical, self-centered view of life, they think, I'm the most religious person. In their self-righteousness, they think, me, my friends, my country, my church, my religion, we are the only ones who have the truth. And everyone else is going to be disfavored by the Lord. Only we will be favored by God. This is their attitude. But actually Krishna shows in His pastimes that even the demigod, everybody gets a chance. Therefore Srila Prabhupada said one time, he said in Mayapur, that you must be very vigilant to follow these four regulative principles, and you must be very careful to sacrifice everything for the pleasure of the Lord. Because the demons, they are also doing sacrifice. Therefore, if their sacrifice is greater than yours, they will be prominent. No. Because if they do sacrifice and we're just sitting around eating pizza, offering it to Krishna, and that's it. No. Otherwise, if we're not out there trying to preach, trying to serve Krishna, serving the deity, giving our lives for serving Krishna in our homes, and seeing our work and whatever we're doing in life as simply an instrument to accomplish that. If our work and our material activities become the focus of our life, then the demons will become prominent. And we can see that now. Sometimes devotees, when Srila Prabhupada was here, devotees were pushing and the whole world was feeling the pressure of this Krishna consciousness movement. But after Srila Prabhupada's disappearance, gradually we kind of, oh, now we shouldn't do these things. Now we don't need brahmacharis. Now, no, everybody should just be happy. And then, you know, Krishna consciousness fitted in somehow in between your happiness. And all these things create a very difficult circumstance, you know, where the materialistic persons can actually become more prominent. Just like Srila Prabhupada said, the only thing that can stop war is the Sankirtan movement. Chanting, we have to. If we chant our holy name individually, very diligently, chanting 16 rounds minimum every day, you know, and we follow the regulative principles very carefully, and if somehow or another we become a little slack, we read the Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, we think, yes, what am I doing? This is foolish. Let me become strong in Krishna consciousness. And then we join, because by becoming strong in Krishna consciousness, we will appreciate the association of Vaishnavas. If our Krishna consciousness is weak, then to justify that weakness, we will find so many weaknesses in other devotees. But if we're actually strong in our Krishna consciousness, then we will feel tikshasva karunika, suriram sarvadehinam. As Lord Kapiladev said, a devotee is decorated with all qualities, beginning with tolerance. We will tolerate the difficulties. It's difficult to live with others. It's difficult to deal with other devotees and people in general. But we will tolerate that, karunika, and we will feel very compassionate. Para upakar. Srila Prabhupada manifested this quality to the utmost degree of feeling compassion for everyone else. So a devotee will please the Supreme Personality of Godhead by his sacrifice. And then the demons, just like the demigods here, they became slacked. They became laxed. And what happened? The demons became prominent. They took over. They pushed the demigods out. This happened several times through the Bhagavatam. And what do the demigods do? They go to the Lord. They strengthen their devotional service. So when we see that material society is becoming prominent, is becoming too strong, what do? We approach Krishna. We have to approach Krishna. There's no material solution. Not that, let me get another job. Let me get two jobs. Then I'll make more money and then I can survive. We approach Krishna. And Krishna will give the solution. Just like in 1975, when there was a big threat, a big court case in New York, where people were being accused, the detractors, the deprogrammers, were trying to get the court, they'd taken a case to court that we were brainwashing. So devotees were very, very worried about this. And there was also a similar case in Germany. But the imminent one was in New York. So the GBC approached Srila Prabhupada and said, what can we do? So Prabhupada said, we will meet in Mayapur. So everybody came to Mayapur. And then Prabhupada called that fateful meeting. All the leaders said, all the leaders should come. And they knew, we're going to discuss the strategy now, how we're going to get out of this situation. So everybody came into Prabhupada's room. Of course, Prabhupada's room in Mayapur is not very big. So everybody was crowded in and around the doors. And everybody, what's Prabhupada going to do? So Prabhupada had his pen. He was just looking at his pen like this. Then he put it down, look at his hand. He said, so, they say we are brainwashing? And the Buddha said, yes, you're the problem. So what is the problem? The brain must be washed. And then Prabhupada waited a little while, and he said, anyway, they have no brain. No. So what is the problem? And then he didn't say anything else. He just started looking at his hand again. Everybody goes, Jai Srila Prabhupada. Everybody takes off. That was the solution. No. Just be Krishna conscious. No. Just be inspired by Srila Prabhupada. Everyone was expecting some 10-point strategy. Like, we always have our material calculations. No, we'll make this strategy. Just like now, there's economic problems and everybody's making all kinds of strategies and we'll do this and we'll do that. But Prabhupada already gave us a strategy. No, land, grains, and cows. This is the strategy. If there's a problem, if we have land, grains, and cows, then we're perfectly situated. And the only thing we have to do, as Srila Prabhupada said, just prepare that thousands will come and take advantage of us. And if we don't have that, what is the solution? Soup kitchen. No? Soup line. That's the solution. So, therefore, the Lord engages everyone in his pastimes. And then in the next verse, the Lord says, Shunuta Bahita Sarve. That Shrinuta Avahita. That I will, please listen very carefully what I have to say. Now Krishna said this several times in Bhagavad Gita. Shinu me, in the seventh chapter, in the beginning. He says, Shinu me, that you must hear me with great attention. And then again in the beginning of the tenth chapter, he says the same thing. Now I'm going to give you higher knowledge, so you must very carefully hear me. And here, the Supreme Lord is saying, very carefully, very attentively, hear me. That means that whenever we have this Bhagavad Gita, we have the Srimad Bhagavatam. The only requirement is that you hear it very attentively. And then, Shreya, then Shreya, then you will get the greatest fortune. Of course, the great fortune in hearing, if we can hear the Mahamantra, Shreya Kairava Chandrika Vitaranam, that we will get the lotus flower of the great fortune of the holy name. So just by hearing attentively, by hearing the holy name, by hearing the Bhagavatam, by hearing the Bhagavad Gita, we will hear attentively. And then in the verse whose purport we read, there's a very interesting point that Srila Prabhupada makes, that there's two understandings. The Acharyas have given two understandings of the word Kalina. No? Anugrihita. No? So anugrihita means receiving benedictions, or to receive. No? That you are not receiving benedictions now. So again, one may say, but how can the demigods, they're favored by Krishna. But they're favored by Krishna, how? No. Kabyena. By the kavya. By the speaking of the spiritual master. Yasya prasadat bhagavat prasado yasya prasada nagatikutopi. Without the blessings of the spiritual master, one cannot attain any benefit or any advancement in life. So the demons, even though they're demons, they were very attentive. Even Ravana and even Hiranyakashipu, they both took blessings from Lord Brahma. Even though they're demons, Ravana was thinking, yes, I take these blessings from Brahma because somehow or another there's some kind of universal order and he has a greater position. Of course, Ravana was thinking all this time, somehow or another I'll break up the universal order. Even when he was going around trying to conquer all kinds of demigods, Narad Muni said, why don't you try to conquer Yamaraj? Why don't you try Yamaraj? And because if you defeat him, then you have defeated death. And immediately Ravana thought, yes, if I can defeat death, then I can disturb the whole universal order, and then I can even be beyond Brahma. Then my benediction will be unlimitedly supreme. And then certainly I can defeat Vishnu. But they accept, because they're demons. And of course, lower demons, they accept so many levels of authority. And so they were very attentive to accept. Of course, one of the reasons why they were so attentive is because their leader was Bali Maharaj, who was actually a devotee. So he taught the Vedic principles very well. But even demons like Ravana and Hiranyakashipu, they observed certain Vedic principles. It's like Srila Prabhupada was speaking to Dr. Patel. And so in one conversation, Dr. Patel, they were talking about meat eating. And Dr. Patel says, this is not allowed in the Vedas. Vaishnava cannot allow this. And of course, Prabhupada said no. And of course, Dr. Patel was very good at arguing with Prabhupada. No, he would argue very strongly. But Prabhupada said, you must understand the Vedas, they provide for everyone. No? And so the Vedas, they provide a situation even for meat eating, or even that so that the demons can somehow or another follow the Vedas and make some advancement. Because if they accept Vedic authority, even though they're accepting it in the mode of ignorance, then there will be some chance for advancement. But if one rejects the Vedas, and one rejects spiritual life or spiritual advancement, or the Supreme Lord or his devotee, then there's no chance for spiritual advancement. So therefore, Srila Prabhupada says here, Kalina, that they are favored by time. Otherwise, this particular moment is very, very beneficial for them. And why is this moment beneficial? Kabhyena. Because they have very carefully followed their spiritual master. Whereas, of course, Indra was good at sometimes insulting his spiritual master. He insulted Brihaspati. In this case, he insulted Durvasa Muni. And in another case, he insulted Brihaspati. No. So therefore, he had lost the favor of the spiritual master, of Guru and Sadhu. And there was no question. The demigods could not win. And therefore the Lord is saying, when you're in that kind of a situation, then you have to do the best thing, the proper thing, which is you bide for time. That somehow or another, make a truce, make an agreement. Of course, the Lord, the demigods know, and the Lord also knows, there's no question of making an agreement with demons. Just like Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he came to Ramakeli to meet with Rupa and Sanatana. So he began a great kirtan festival in Ramakeli. And, the whole town was focused on this. And when the Nawab, Hussein Shah, he heard about this. He sent his minister, and then he sent his constable to observe. And the minister was a devotee. So the minister came back and he tried to, somehow or another. The constable came back, and he said he became so overwhelmed by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, even though he was a Muslim. He became so overwhelmed, he said, I don't know what's going on. People are just totally enamored by this personality who is very tall and beautiful of golden color, and his teeth are just like pearls, and his toenails and his fingernails are just like jewels, and his long, beautiful arms extend. He started describing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he became ecstatic. So the Nawab knew this is Allah. And therefore, when the minister came, because he was afraid that the Nawab is going to stop the Sankirtan or punish the devotees or somehow or another hurt Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he said, no, it's just some traveling mendicant. Just some, don't pay much attention, just some sannyasi, one of these Hindu holy men. He's just arousing, so it's no problem, he'll be gone soon. But the Nawab said, he is not just some mendicant. He said, I pay so many people to follow me, and only a few of them follow me. He doesn't pay them anything, and everyone wants to follow him. No. Therefore, I can understand he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. No. And therefore, his Sankirtan should not be disturbed. And so everyone became very blissful. But Rupa and Sanatana, even though they heard this, they said, they advised Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that he should, after he, of course, blessed them and accepted them. Now, they said, you should go ahead, my lord, you should actually move on, because you cannot trust these materialistic, demoniac persons. They cannot be trusted. No. They say one thing one moment, and then they change. No. So the Lord knows, you can't make a truce with the demons. But you can make some temporary agreement until you get the higher ground. No. This is one of the basic principles of warfare, that you should never attack if you don't have the higher ground. Otherwise, you look for some maneuver or some agreement until you can get the higher ground. So this is the Lord's advice. Because the Lord is always favoring his devotees. Just like the Lord favored Arjuna with Karna. And he favored with Yudhishthir. He favored Yudhishthir with Dronacharya so that the Pandavas could win. So the Lord even uses these diplomatic techniques to, of course, with Karna it wasn't so diplomatic, but of course Karna got what he was deserved because of his actions with Draupadi. So therefore Krishna wanted him to be slaughtered in a very very unbefitting way. No, because of what he had done to Draupadi. But in any case, the point is, the final point that I wanted to make here, is that the Lord always tells the devotees what to do, and sometimes we may have to do something which is not so apparent to us why we're doing it that way. But we should try to understand and take the instructions of the Supreme Lord and the spiritual master, accept them, and then everything will become apparent to us in due course of time. So anyway, we'll stop here. Are there any questions, any comments? Yes.
You know, like the current days, Dharma is not very prevalent, but still there is a lot of wealth. How do you understand that?
Oh, the wealth is there because, of course, it's not real wealth in one sense. Because, as Srila Prabhupada said, you know, previously houses were made out of stone, and palaces were made out of jewels and coral, you know, and now everything's made out of transformed mud, you know, at the best. Or paper. Practically speaking, houses nowadays are cardboard, with little wood and cardboard. So actually, what is the opulence? No, where is the opulence? There's no, you know, when we see in the Bhagavatam opulence, it says beautiful rivers, beautiful mountains, everything is very green and lush. Nowadays, there's so much drought problems, and when there's rain, there's floods. So, but whatever opulence is there, it's because people have done sacrifice. Whatever type of sacrifice, pious sacrifice or demoniac sacrifice, even when the demons do sacrifice, like Hiranyakashipu, standing on his leg for 125 years of the demigods, standing on one leg, you know, so much time that the ants actually ate the flesh off his body. This is a very, very tamasic type sacrifice. But he was rewarded with some material opulence and some power, you know, because of his sacrifice. What to speak of even Vritrasura, you know, what's his name? What's the demon that cut off his skin? Huh? Vritrasura, right? Yeah. So even he, you know, such a horrible sacrifice, cutting off his flesh and offering it into the fire. But still, Lord Shiva came and gave him some power. No. So it doesn't require pious activities and dharma. But there is a certain type of dharma. What is the dharma for the demons to do this kind of sacrifice? And they get some opulence from it. So therefore, that's why I said in the very beginning that material opulence is not always beneficial. No. Otherwise, sometimes we think that people, there's a certain great wealth and everything, therefore people are being very religious. No. There is wealth. Real wealth does come from religion also. But actually wealth coming from devotional service comes after a devotee is completely detached from the enjoying the fruits of that wealth. Then Krishna can give unlimited wealth. And he showed that in the life of Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada didn't need a lesson. He didn't need to know, to have everything taken away from him so that he could understand the blessing of having everything. But that lesson was given to us. That sometimes In the beginning, the Lord may take everything away from his devotee, just like he did from Srila Prabhupada. He took everything away. No. But that increased his devotional service. And then when Srila Prabhupada began his mission, then Krishna gave him all facility. Without, you know, having any, you know, he had no opulence. Nothing was materially favorable for him. And all of a sudden, Krishna gave him everything by his pure chanting. So that lesson is there for us. You know, Srila Prabhupada went through that hardship for our benefit. Therefore, we should take that understanding that opulence is not a sign. Actually, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, a devotee, if they get opulence, they should immediately be wary that what is this opulence for? And be very careful to use it in Krishna's service, because sometimes a devotee will think, when they get some opulence, that yes, oh, this must be because of I've been such a good devotee. And therefore they become bewildered. And they begin to see themselves as a good devotee and enjoy their opulence instead of using it in Krishna's service. So this wealth has been created, but we can see it's being taken away by sinful activities and by misuse. You can see so many empires have sprung up and then they just disappear. No. Because, and very quickly actually, the empires, you know, the Vedic civilization lasted for thousands and thousands and thousands of years, millions of years. Just like Srila Prabhupada said, that previous to 5,000 years ago, there was only Vedic civilization, and for millions of years. And just in these last 5,000 years, there have been other civilizations, but none of them last more than a few hundred years. You know, they come into being, they conquer, and they're powerful. You know, the Spartans, the Macedonians, the Greeks, the Romans, the Turks, the Ottoman Empire. You know, they all come into power for some few hundred years, and then they're finished because they begin to enjoy. They're all materialistic. They begin to enjoy their opulence. And then as soon as they begin to enjoy their opulence, they fall down and they lose their power. Because power in this material world comes from austerity. Any other question? Thank you very much. All glory to Sri Guru, Sri Gauranga, Sri Prabhupada, Ki Jai. Srimad Bhagavatam, Ki Jai.
Jai.